The United States Department of Energy is going to invest in 17 projects across the country at a cost of $21 million. At its core, the goal is to increase the pace at which people are turning to solar in their homes and as part of their lifestyles. One of the projects is being led by Jacqueline Heddle of ASU's School for the Future of Innovation in Society. Jacqueline, how would you define a home or domicile that is sustainable?
If you look at the term sustainable, that is really highly contested even right now. It can range from anything from I recycle my plastics to I live completely off the grid.
So let's think about a community in Gilbert that was advertised as being one that is sustainable. It had to do with the way energy usage went in the home. It was excessive use of alternative energy as much as they could. I was supposed to save on energy costs. It had all this sort of thing going. But one thing that really stood out to me is it was in a neighborhood that did not seem like it was accessible to, certainly not low-income folks, but even those who might be in the middle-income, middle-class, as we describe it. Where do you think we're at right now as far as what opportunities are available?
So I believe that some of the programming you're talking about are LEED, or LEED certified homes, the ones where basically they have to meet and exceed certain codes established for homeowners or even commercial buildings with regard to how they're using and consuming energy. A lot of these technologies that go into these homes are still emerging technologies that are costly, both with regard to their manufacturing as far as the individual components or the resources, but also when you think about mass production, because we know from the various big box store kind of models that when we get to a certain point with quantity, we're able to then get those costs down when we're talking about mass consumption. And so a lot of these technologies are still in that kind of emerging early adopter, early majority kind of place where they haven't crossed that chasm with regard to adoption quantity to get it into more of a mass market rather than a niche market. And so that becomes kind of difficult.
Does it make sense for there to be some experimentation at the beginning and those who want to adopt it can adopt it and then many of the rest of us sort of get on late? Or does that seem like it's restricting or blocking certain people out?
Does it make sense? Depends on which hat you're going to wear, right? If you are wearing more of a business hat, well, of course it makes sense because you don't have enough data coming in. You don't have enough revenue coming in for you to be able to scale it up because, frankly, your investors, they're not going to find the ROI for themselves. And at that point, most businesses, they're accountable to their employees and to their investors. With more of our social hat on and thinking about our communities and the fact that we are all part of a, frankly, a planet scale community, we should be shifting that ratio a little bit. A lot of our focus has been on what are the economic factors that cause or that we can reduce to get people to want to adopt solar technologies. Mm-hmm. But we haven't focused on really these additional personal soft costs that are really hard to monetize, but actually at the end of the day, historically, we know, are the real driving factors. Case in point being, if we think about the history of the light bulb, right, we now have access to really amazing energy saving, sustainability driven technologies like LED bulbs. Talk to my grandmother who lives in Arkansas. If you were to ask her, do you have any LED bulbs in your home? She probably would tell you no. In fact, I can tell you she would tell you no. She lives in rural Arkansas. Not only would she tell you no, but when you ask her why, mm-hmm. In fact, I had this conversation with her not too long ago. Why? Well, they're just too expensive. I push a little bit because this is my sweet Southern little grandma. Now, you said that a bit too fast. Why are they too expensive for you? I'm like, what if I were to go buy you some? Would you put them in your house? Well, no. All right, now we're getting to the meat of the problem, right? Like, why will she not adopt the sustainability-driven technology? This is the woman who recycles everything. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, she says that she can't see as well. She can't read as well with them. Yeah. You have these motivations by people that may not make sense to most of us, and it may not be where we would intuitively go, mm-hmm. but they're really valid because at the end of the day, until those pain points are addressed, they're not going to adopt it. The same will be true of all of these other technologies, mm-hmm. including solar.
Jacqueline Heddle of ASU School for the Future of Innovation in Society. We've been talking about why people do or don't adopt more sustainable lifestyles.